You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We have finished with our Ruthless Elimination of Hurry book club pick. I pray that you guys was blessed by the episodes that we did. I pray that you were blessed by the book. If you do not have it, please go and get it. If you missed it or came up on the end of our discussion, please go and get that book. It's one of my favorite Christian books of all time. I'm not sure what we will read next. I feel like I want us to read a business-related book. So I'm going to do some digging and see. I just think that it's time for us to do a more business-focused book. We've covered Battlefield of the Mind. We've covered Christian leadership. We've covered the elimination of hurry. So I feel like we got a lot of the major personal development, leadership, mindset type of topics out the way. And now we can lock in on entrepreneurship and business building. So I'm going to do some digging to see what books either I've read that would be good for me to revisit. And matter of fact, as I was saying that, a book came to mind. It's called Great CEOs Are Lazy. I read that book a few years ago and I really enjoyed it. It really gave me perspective of building a business without being in that hustle, grind, culture, mindset. I think that's a good business follow-up to the Ruthless Elimination of Hurry because it talks about building a business from a place of sustainability and not that place of hurry and lack. I'm going to revisit it. I don't even know where the physical book is anymore. I know I have it, but I'm going to revisit it online and skim it and see if that should be our next book club pick. So I'll keep you posted on that. On today's episode, I wanted to have a conversation on trust versus avoidance. I have a family member who I go back and forth with often on this topic because when we have conversations, one of the things that if there's anything uncomfortable, if there's a tough life event, anything that evokes some type of strong negative emotion, whether it's fear, whether it's disappointment, sadness, insert any feeling that you don't want to feel here. Anytime something like that comes up, they will always spiritualize their way out of the human emotion. So, well, God wouldn't let that happen. So it's good. Oh, I'm going to be fine because the Lord got me. And sometimes I will talk to them about things that I may be feeling emotionally and they'll be like, well, no, you can't say that. You can't say that you're sad. You got to just find that scripture so that you can understand that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You're not sad. The joy of the Lord is your strength, like stuff like that. And so where we bump heads on that subject often is I'm like, I don't believe in lying to myself. And I don't believe that a God who loves me will want me to deny my humanity or lie to myself either. I can know and accept that the joy of the Lord is my strength while also knowing and accepting at this moment, I don't feel joy. I feel sad. And I can then, in my sadness, go to my Father with my human emotion, and then experientially go from sadness to joy because I went to the Holy Spirit as my comforter. And because I went to Him, comfort is what He gave me. And now I feel less sad. Now I feel more hopeful. Now I feel more joy because I brought my cares to Him. I casted my cares on Him, and He gave me rest for my soul. So we bump heads often because I understand what their perspective is, where they're trying to, in my opinion, rush or hurry up and get to the joy part. But I feel that that is not truly trust. I feel like that is avoidance. That is a defense mechanism. That is a place that our brain goes to try to make us feel safe as quick as possible. And as Christians, I believe that that is an error that a lot of us make, and it robs us from true closeness and intimacy with the Lord. It robs us from true transformation. And quite frankly, it makes us our own God because it puts us in a place of pride and self-reliance. We try to use the word of God and what we understand or who we understand him to be as like this magic wand that makes all of the things that we don't like about life or feelings go away. And that's not how this works. So I wanted to have this conversation because I feel like a lot of us don't do this intentionally. Our intentions are not to be self-sufficient. Our intentions are not to be prideful. Our intentions are not to use God as a genie in his word, as a magic wand to erase all hard times. I believe a lot of us truly want to experience what we're reading in the scriptures. We want to experience the transformation that we hear from others' testimonies, but our humanity, our traumas, our brain's tendency to try to hurry up and get to a place of safety whenever we feel any type of harm or hurt, those things get in the way of what our intentions are. And a big part of this Christian life is being able to clearly recognize, name, and identify the things that keep us outside of alignment with the Lord and deal with them. And then the end result is closeness. So that's why we're talking about this today, so that we can identify the differences between avoidance and trust. And then moving forward, operate in wisdom, where we're trusting in the Lord with all our heart and leaning not into our own understanding, where we in all our ways and feelings and emotions are submitted to him so that he will make our path straight. That's in Proverbs. So let's dive into avoidance first. Avoidance is one of the most socially acceptable defense mechanisms in Christian culture, period. Because it is often disguised as spirituality. I mean, we've heard it all before. Let's say you have some type of infirmity. People will say, oh, God is a healer. You're going to come through this on the other side because God is a healer. He's going to heal your body. And we get excited and we rejoice. But the reality is, God can heal in multiple ways. Yes, he's a healer, and he can heal. Either he will heal your whole body while you're living, or you succumb to the infirmity and you're healed in your glorified body in heaven. But we don't want to talk about the latter because death is still a part of that and we don't want to face it. Avoidance is easier. I remember when my grandmother back in 2021 was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. She had a prognosis of 90 days to live. And that devastated me because my grandmother is top 5 people in my life. It's God, my husband, my kids, my grandma. She's right after the kids for me. And so I was devastated because I've never imagined a life without talking to her every day. We talk every day. And so I've never seen her sick. She's been healthy my whole entire life. And then all of a sudden, overnight, she's on oxygen and in the hospital and all of these things. This crushed my whole family. And it crushed me in particular. So when I was praying for her, I caught myself, God, I thank you that you're going to heal her body. I'm finding all the scriptures about how he's a healer. And I'm praying that he's going to restore her back to good health. And in those prayers, though, I caught myself to realize, well, Tatum, what if he heals her in glory? Is she less healed because the healing didn't come about in a way that is most comfortable for you and her and everybody involved? And I had to sit with that. And I switched my prayers at that point to take myself and my needs out of it and my selfishness away. I said, God, I pray. I thank you that you are a healer. I pray and hope that you will heal her on this side of heaven, so that she can enjoy more life and we can enjoy more life with her. Nevertheless, if this is not your will, God, I still rejoice in your healing powers anyway, because I know that she will spend eternity with you regardless. And that was tough However, I had to pray it because I had to trust him and not just avoid what was going on and how I felt about it. And as y'all know, if you've been listening to this podcast, here we are 5 years later and she's still here. She's healthy. Her cancer is in remission. She watches my kids with her right now. I still talk to her every night. We still fuss all the time. And so the Lord healed. It was his will for her to be healed on this side of heaven. And I am so grateful for that. However, my faith was not dependent on my preferences. And I submitted my vulnerability and my fear of losing her to the Lord. And he was able to comfort me even without the grief or the loss. And so, again, we need to get into this topic because I believe it is going to provide so much freedom and wisdom that I believe will be transformative. So again, avoidance is socially acceptable, but it's still an issue. At its core, avoidance is a defense mechanism. It's a strategy that our brains use to keep us from experiencing pain or discomfort. Psychologists often use the term experiential avoidance. This was interesting when I read about this. It says experiential avoidance is the attempt to escape, suppress, control, numb, or avoid uncomfortable internal experiences such as fear, anxiety, shame, grief, disappointment, vulnerability, uncertainty. That's a big one. Research consistently shows that experiential avoidance is strongly associated with anxiety, depression, PTSD, worry, and other forms of psychological distress. One meta-analysis examined 441 studies involving more than 135,000 participants and found moderate to large relationships between avoidance and anxiety, depression, worry, PTSD, OCD-related symptoms, and other mental health challenges. All of us have experienced avoidance. Let's say you got out of a relationship with someone and you knew that you were going to see them at some type of family event or upcoming event with mutual friends. You don't want to deal with that person, so you avoid them. You either don't go or you go, you just act like they're not there. Like, we've all been in those situations. When it comes to entrepreneurship, I said uncertainty was on this list, and I said that that's a big one because that's a huge one when it relates to business, and that is a huge hindrance to individuals doing business God's way because uncertainty just comes with it. Faith, by definition, is confidence in things hoped for, assurance about things unseen. Uncertainty is baked into the fabric of faith. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite. They say that every day your business is late to AI, you fall 2 days behind. But how do you keep up? The competition is only moving faster. Fortunately, that's NetSuite Next. You probably know NetSuite, the AI-powered business management suite that securely connects all of your data. It's a unified suite that brings your financials, inventory, commerce, HR, and CRM into a single source of truth, trusted by over 43,000 customers. NetSuite Next is the next huge leap in how business gets done because AI is built into everything that you do. It automatically surfaces custom insights throughout your day. AI agents work alongside you to solve problems and handle routine work. And anytime you have a question about anything, ask, just like you're having a conversation with a colleague. NetSuite is customized for a wide range of industries, so it supports the way your business truly works. Whether your company earns millions or even hundreds of millions, it's time for NetSuite Next, where your business meets AI. If I needed this product, this is exactly what I would use. For the first time ever, you can try NetSuite Next for free. If your revenues are at least in the seven figures, go to netsuite.ai/blessed. Built for every industry, ready for every boardroom. netsuite.ai/blessed. This episode is brought to you by IXL. Summer break should be fun, yes, but it's also important to keep young minds active. IXL helps kids stay engaged and avoid losing progress between school years. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and help kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Y'all know, y'all been listening to this for a while, I am an IXL girl. I am an IXL mom, and it is a requirement in my house. My child right now needs to stay sharp. We don't play that backsliding during the summer. No, he has to stay sharp, reviewing those key skills and building confidence in those challenging subjects. Studies show that kids who use IXL score higher on tests, and that's proven in all 50 states. IXL adapts to each child's level, pace, and learning needs. You save time and money. One subscription covers everything, pre-K through 12th grade for all the kids in your home, and 1 hour of tutoring can cost more than an entire month of IXL. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe that getting support is wise, yet 74% say that society discourages them from doing so. There is a gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it. And what we can do to close that gap is to just make that first step. And BetterHelp makes that very easy. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means that they typically get it right on the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, just switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. And avoidance makes us want to get away as quick as possible from any and all uncertainty. So then our brain starts to then fill in gaps in order to make us comfortable. And so using the entrepreneurship example, if the Lord tells you, hey, write this book, you might experience fear and uncertainty about how the book will be received, if there will be a sales, and let you have a real need that needs to be met, those emotions are heightened. Let's say you have a financial need, the Lord gives you an idea, and now you're hoping that those two are related. You're hoping that this idea he gave you will solve this financial need. So now there's this pressure, this added pressure into you being obedient in how you go about the assignment, because you're uncertain if this is going to solve the problem that you originally came to the Lord for. And so then in order to avoid that fear, that uncertainty, and ultimately a disappointing outcome, what we will then do is try to take things into our own hands and pre-solve this issue of disappointment before it even happens. So we start to come up with all types of plans to market the book, which isn't inherently wrong. But if the Lord told you to just trust him, that's when it becomes wrong. If he says, I will make your name great, and then you go to try to make it great on your own, that's disobedience. That's a problem. So if, because we're trying to save ourselves preemptively from any type of ultimate disappointment due to our uncertainty, we start then to figure things out on our own. We start to do the book, not the way that the Lord told us, but in the way that seems to be most marketable based off of what's happening in the world right now. Or we write the book in a way to where we feel the audience will be more ready to receive it. So we take the instruction, and because of our uncertainty, our fear, and us trying to protect ourselves from ultimate disappointment, we then fill in the gaps to try to make ourselves feel more secure about the task. I hope that makes sense. But this is all avoidance. It's not trust. And you see how something simple as, or seemingly as simple as, avoidance can ripple effect into all of these decisions that take you further and further outside of the will of God, further and further away from the precision of how you're supposed to be doing what the Lord has called you to do. For me, getting away from avoidance was a huge shift as I grew in my Christian walk, because avoidance was how I survived my whole life. I didn't have time to feel the feels. I had to make things happen. I didn't have time to crumble, to be disappointed, to let my heart break, because I had to figure it out. I had to make things happen. I had to take care of myself. I had to survive. But as I grew and as I matured, as I went to therapy, as the Lord transformed me, I realized that survival mode and avoidance has no place in this walk. I didn't save myself. I can't save myself. And so trust has to be the way in which I move forward. And avoidance can no longer be my defense mechanism. A defense mechanism is defined as an unconscious psychological strategy used to protect the mind from anxiety, difficult emotions, or threatening thoughts. You know what that is? Self-reliance. So anytime we are operating from a place of our defense mechanisms, whether it's avoidance or anything else, that is a self-reliance red flag. And for as long as we are relying on self, for as long as our psychological makeup is in control, the Holy Spirit isn't. And the interesting thing, just like all other false gods, no matter how attractive our defense mechanisms and avoidance may be, it is wildly ineffective. And not just ineffective from a spiritual standpoint, but it's ineffective as a psychological response as well. Studies have shown that the problem is that what relieves anxiety today, avoidance, often strengthens it tomorrow. Researchers describe avoidance as a psychological vulnerability because it reduces immediate discomfort while preventing people from developing confidence, resilience, and flexibility. Avoidance gives you relief because you don't have to face the fear. You're choosing to turn your back on the uncertainty, the anxiety, or the shame, the disappointment. You think that you're being relieved from those emotions. And you do have that temporary relief for a moment because you're not feeling the thing. However, you're robbing yourself from the ability to grow. So does that make sense? As mature adults, listening to the breakdown of this, does this even make sense? Not even from a spiritual standpoint. This doesn't even make sense logically for it to be a tool in your arsenal of dealing with the woes of life. It doesn't. So again, you get that relief, but it doesn't give you peace. And the peace that we talk about here on this podcast is not just the absence of discomfort, but we're talking about the eternal peace. We're talking about the peace that surpasses all understanding that can only come from the Lord. That's the peace that we want. And avoidance doesn't give you either. So what is this rooted in? Where does avoidance come from? Because many of us is rooted somewhere. For me, it was rooted in different traumas in my upbringing, not feeling safe when I'm emotional. I can remember growing up, I would go to people that I trusted with my vulnerability, and it wasn't received. And by nature, I'm somebody who, if I come to you vulnerable, And I feel that my vulnerabilities are not handled with the gentleness that they deserved. If I feel like they're dismissed, they're overlooked, or if you're making a situation about you, y'all know them type of people. You come to them with a problem or something you're going through, and then somehow they make it about them. If I notice any of this, I'm the type of person that will immediately brand that person as, oh, this isn't a safe space for me. So I will not be vulnerable with you anymore. That's a quality I've always had, and I still have it. And I think that there's wisdom in that. However, growing up, that meant that I was vulnerable with nobody. So now, as an adult, as a Christian, I'm vulnerable with the Lord. Even if I can't be vulnerable with anybody in my life, I know I can be vulnerable with the Lord. I have meaningful relationships with people I can be vulnerable with, that I'm safe with. However, growing up, I didn't have a safe space. And so it was easier to just avoid my emotions versus actually face them head on because I didn't have a safe space to do so. So for all of us, this avoidance is rooted somewhere. One of the places that avoidance is rooted is, of course, fear. You might avoid because you're afraid of failure, rejection, criticism, embarrassment, loss, conflict, or any type of uncertainty. And so psychologically, the brain interprets these experiences as threats and goes to seek safety. So for example, if you are waiting on God to start your business, underneath that is probably fear. Fear of putting yourself out there and being humiliated, fear of launching something and it makes no money, fear of being rejected, pursuing an opportunity and being rejected, fear of pitching yourself to clients and they say no, which is a form of rejection. And so because you don't want to feel, or you're afraid of feeling that, you just don't do the thing altogether. And because avoidance is so socially acceptable, you can say, oh yeah, I have this business I'm working on, but I'm waiting for God to tell me it's time. We love to spiritualize some procrastination. We love to dress up some disobedience or procrastination in some spiritual lingo, and people who do not have discernment or who can't see through that foolishness will eat it all up every single time. But we're not going for that here. We're going to talk about the things. We are not going to spiritualize some foolishness. We're going to get to the root and deal with it. For my people who like to procrastinate, shame is another root cause of avoidance. You don't want to feel as if you're inadequate. You don't want to feel as if something is wrong with you. So you avoid situations that will expose any type of inadequacies. And this is such a cunning method of the enemy, because we can rejoice in our inadequacies because that leaves room for us to boast about the goodness of the Lord and what he is able to do. And so this is why avoidance can be such a god in and of itself, because it exalts you and your feelings above him and how he's overcome everything that we're worried about. Another root is the desire for control. And this is huge for entrepreneurs. This is huge for high achieving people. Trust requires us to give up control, and we struggle with that. And so then avoidance becomes a strategy for us to maintain control. So we delay decisions, we overplan, we over-research, we go down the rabbit hole of all the work around the thing versus just doing the thing. We are looking for 50 million signs of confirmation from the Lord. I don't even think at this phase of entrepreneurship or life, I ask for confirmation from God often anymore. Earlier on in my walk, I did. Like, I see people like these TikToks and stuff where folks would be like, I had these passwords with God. And I'm like, man, I wish I knew that, heard something like that when I was earlier on in my faith. I don't think I can get away with that now. I think the Lord will be looking at me like, girl, the password is do what I say. What you talking about a password for? But earlier in my walk, I used to, one of my friends, Tish, would always say when she was praying to the Lord, she would ask for like a bright neon sign. And so I would adopt that same method early on and ask for confirmation. Like, God, if this is you, can you show me, like, make it obvious that it's you? And he would. But then as I got more mature, as I grew and developed more in my walk, I don't really get confirmation anymore. And I don't really ask for it as much anymore because of the level of maturity I feel like I've reached in my faith. I know when the Lord is leading me to do something, it's obvious. There are times when I do ask for confirmation. Now is really few in between, and only when there's like a huge decision. So I told y'all, my decision to go to law school was one I asked for confirmation for because of how much it required. And how much it required, not just of me, but of everybody around me, my family, my husband, my children, time, money. So that was such a big decision that I was like, okay, God, I feel that I know this is you, but I need confirmation for this one. And I'm grateful that he did give it to me. So as I navigate this season, I can navigate it confidently, knowing that it is the Lord who brought me here and not a figment of my imagination. But for those of us who desire control, we're constantly looking to mitigate risk. And that's what avoidance does. Instead of us just trusting and doing what the Lord says, we try to be practical and find all ways to minimize or avoid the risk that we're ultimately afraid of. And then the interesting thing about us, and I say us because I fall into this category, our avoidance often to other people looks like wisdom and planning and everything except for what it actually is. And because we're the ones who usually have it together, who have it figured out, we're the ones that people don't have to worry about, we're not often called out on our stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Super.com. You know that feeling when your credit score quietly gets in the way? A declined card, a loan that costs way more than it should, is frustrating. And for a lot of people, the problem isn't that they're bad with money, it's that the system just isn't giving them credit for what they're already doing. That's why I want to talk about Super.com's credit building program. With Super Plus membership, you get access to the Super.com card. And here's the part that I love. It gives you a $5,000 credit usage boost. This isn't money that you spend. It's reported to the bureaus as available credit that you're not using, which can lower your utilization ratio and move your score in the right direction. You can also report your on-time rent payments, including up to 2 years of past rent, to all three major credit bureaus, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. The biggest bill that you pay every month can finally start working for you. No hard credit checks to apply, 0% APR, and you can track your progress right inside the app. Start building your credit the easy way. Go to super.com/credit right now to see how Super Plus can help you boost your credit score. That's super.com/credit. Credit building features are only available to the Super Plus members. Impact on your credit score may vary. Super.com cannot control factors outside of their services that may impact your credit. Visit super.com for more details.
But the Lord sees all. And this is another reason why we're having this conversation on this podcast, is because I see this show as a platform and a place for those of us who are the high achievers, who do have it all together, the ones who people don't call out because they can't see past the accomplishments, or they don't worry about us to really pay enough attention. I see this podcast as a place where we have these discussions, where we hold a mirror up to the strong friend, to the one that is making things happen, and bring us to a place of realization of, maybe I need to work on this. Maybe I need to really pray about this. Maybe this is something that I need to submit before the Lord. I want us to lovingly be able to call each other out in this space. And I say call each other out because everything we discuss are things that I very much so am also dealing with. And so we can have an honest conversation about it so that the Lord can then transform us. But control. The desire for control is a root. And then the last root I want to bring up is unprocessed pain. A lot of times, avoidance that we're dealing with is because of things that we've gone through in the past. So you may have women who avoid dating because they've been hurt. You may have women who avoid having another child because of a traumatic birth experience. You may have an entrepreneur who avoids launching a new venture because of failures in the past. You may have somebody who is a hoarder financially who doesn't want to make investments or take any type of smart, calculated risk financially because maybe you have grown up in poverty or experienced losing it all financially before. So what your nervous system then begins to say is, last time I did something like this, this hurt. So I'm not doing that no more. Once it starts to feel familiar to some pain in the past, your brain is like, nope, red flag, mayday, 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 we're not doing it. But trust will say, this feels like a familiar pain. However, I'm going to continue forward and I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to comfort me through this familiar discomfort and through the fear that this is bringing up. I can't emphasize enough. This is why abiding is so important. Living a life where you are connected to, dependent on, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, not just reactively, but proactively, to where you go about every aspect of your life from a place of reverence to Him, a place of seeking His guidance and leadership, a place of the Word being on your mind and in your heart. Like, we have to live from a place of being filled with the Spirit. And when you are, you then begin to recognize any time that this avoidant nature and whatever it's rooted in, you'll begin to recognize that, oh, I'm operating in avoidance right now. Let me quickly course correct. And then you just make adjustments. You repent and you make adjustments so that you can continue in trust. Because that transition from trust to avoidance, it can be so quick. It can be so smooth that you don't even realize it. It could literally be one moment you are building your business, you're getting ready to launch a new product, you're trusting the Lord, you're afraid, but you're doing it anyway. And then you launch it, and let's say the first week of sales aren't what you expected. And then you just find yourself, okay, you're asking all the AIs and the gurus or whatever, okay, how do I get my sales up quickly? And instead of continuing to just trust the Lord, now you're trying to problem solve and get back into control because you are comfortable with the level of uncertainty or discomfort. Or let me say you weren't comfortable. You were able to manage the discomfort and the uncertainty in the launching phase, but the disappointment of not having the sales that you want to have, that pushed you past what you may have been able to manage previously. So now the avoidance jumps in versus understanding that this disappointment feeling is here. And instead of immediately rejecting it and going back into self-reliance, let me just take a step back from doing anything and take it to the Lord. I had a friend, we were talking, she's going through some things, and she was telling me, she was asking me, what do I think she should do? And she laid out some different options. But what I could hear in us talking was distress. I could hear her brain trying to do things and make decisions and put two and two together in order to attempt to minimize some of that distress. And so after talking to her and validating her feelings and hearing her out, because her feelings were very valid, everything that she was feeling was real and it was appropriate to the situation. And my response was a question of, do you have to do anything? And the answer was no. But that's where a lot of us come to, where we're going through something and we have trusted God on and off or consistently up into a certain point, but we get to a point where the emotions are too much to handle and we want to run from them. I think that that is very normal. And I've been in that situation as well, where I've had to make tough decisions in my business. I've had to make tough decisions personally, and the emotions around it were so much that I just wanted to run from them completely or take back control so that I could at least get to a place to where I can handle them. And every time I've had to ask myself that same question, do you have to do anything? And most of the time, the answer is no. And then you just have to then sit with the emotions, no matter how big they are or how overwhelming they feel. Instead of avoiding them, you have to then just sit with them and trust the Lord with whatever decision or not follows. And that's tough to do. And as I said, it is that transition from trusting and being able to handle the emotions to avoiding because the emotions have now become too much. It happens so quickly. And that is why, again, we have to abide in Him and spend time with Him, think about Him. Even if we're not reading the Word, we have to think about the Word and be involved in community of like-minded Christians, because that dependency on the Holy Spirit and that recognition of His leadership at every point of the day will make room for Him or us to notice Him bringing things to our attention. Like, hey, avoidance is kicking in. Hey, this is fear. Hey, this is self-preservation. Hey, daughter, this is your defense mechanism. Come back to me. Hey, come back, come back. You're getting far away. Let's reel it back in. We need that. So if you have not already identified ways in which you avoid, I'm going to give you a couple of signs. Again, these things can be situational or it can be consistent. It depends. But here are some signs that you may be avoiding and how you can trust instead. A lot of them we've discussed within our conversation, so I'm not going to bring them up again. But a couple that we haven't. You don't face the worst case scenario. This is something that therapists will often bring up if you're in therapy. I've been in therapy off and on for years. And whenever I was worried about something, my therapist would tell me, okay, well, what if you can think of the worst case scenario, whatever you're afraid of, wherever that fear, that disappointment, whatever emotion that is being brought up that you're trying to avoid, what if you just faced it? And we just deal with those emotions now and talk about how to navigate them now so that if or when, maybe or maybe not, these things happen, you'll be equipped to handle them. That's a great therapy tool. As a believer, I see the benefit of facing the worst case scenario as now you can then go to your comforter for wisdom and strength. So it's not like you're getting practical tools as you'll get from a therapy session, but you're also getting access as a believer. You have access to the Spirit of God, who is your comforter, who will give you wisdom and peace that surpasses all understanding as you navigate through these uncertain emotions. So I gave the example earlier about when my grandmother got sick, and my fear was that she would die. And while I know intellectually that we know none of us live forever, I was not ready to hear this prognosis of she has 3 months to live. That devastated me. And I wanted to choose avoidance and just only pray about or talk to the Lord about His supernatural healing power on this side of heaven. But wisdom says, no, let me go to the Holy Spirit to comfort me and face what I don't want to face, which is grief. And thankfully, I didn't have to, as we talked about before, because He healed her. However, though, that comfort allowed the Lord and I to be close in a way that avoidance wouldn't make room for, because avoidance puts a barrier up between me and the Lord. And so for you, if you are afraid to face the worst case scenario of what if I put all of this money into this business and I lose it? What if I leave my 9-to-5 and my family's on the street? What if I make this decision for my children and they have to go to therapy to overcome some trauma that I gave them based off of this decision? Whatever the fear is, whatever the worst case scenario is, be honest about it. Because the root is not that, oh, if I say this, it'll happen. Because that's what this toxic stuff will say. Or, watch what you say, because if you say it, it'll happen. No. Again, that's witchcraft. No. That's not how this works. We don't avoid real feelings out of fear that us saying that will somehow cause them to be. No. We face the worst case scenario because that is the reality of how you feel. It's shaping your emotions. That is your vulnerability. It allows you to be fully open and vulnerable with the Lord. That's why we face it and don't avoid it. Not because somehow it's going to happen. We face it because that is something that is underlying and driving how we feel. And we take that to the Lord so that He can comfort us completely. So that we can be close to Him for real, not for play, not intellectually, but truly in our hearts. So if you do not face these worst case scenarios for reasons I stated or others, that is a sign of avoidance. And I encourage you to face them so that He can comfort you through them. And I promise you, through that comfort, the outcome will be better than what you can imagine. And when I say that, I'm not saying that the outcome will be everything you want it to be. I'm saying it'll be better than you could imagine, because despite whatever the outcome is, you still have the Lord, and you realize that, and you recognize that, and you experience that, not just in your head, but in your heart as well. And along those same lines, if you find yourself in prayer asking the Lord to just fix versus asking Him for comfort and wisdom, you're avoiding. You can make your request known to the Lord. It's no problem with you telling God what you want Him to do. And you have to be open to what you want not being in His will, and trusting that even if the outcome is disappointing to you, He still loves you. He's still there. He will still comfort you. He will still give you wisdom. And whatever the decision is still in your best interest. In my opinion, when you are comfortable allowing yourself to feel disappointment, you have reached a new level of trust and faith. Because you're then able to understand that, okay, I feel this is not the outcome I wanted. I feel disappointed. I really was hoping that this will work out. Nevertheless, God, not my will, let yours be done. I trust that your plan is greater than mine. So what shall you have me do next, Lord? If you could get to that place, that is a place where you can be sure to say, okay, I trust God. And it is that trust and that confidence that will guide you into whatever He calls you to do next. I believe that covers everything that I wanted to discuss about avoidance and trust. I had some scriptures here, some places in the Bible that I wanted to go, but I feel like those might end up being their own episode. We'll see by the time the next episode comes around. I want to read them a little bit more, because there are some examples of avoidance versus trust that we could find in the Word. And so instead of just reading them out to you, I want to pick maybe one or two and we do a deep dive into them. So we'll see how that materializes for the next week's episode. But I pray that this blessed you. I pray that this enlightened you. I pray that this gave you tools and wisdom and practical insight on avoidance versus trust, so that you can recognize when your defense mechanisms are arising and then choose to trust the Lord instead. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.